Hello.
Oh, that's on the table over here. A familiar sight, I think, to most of you. In fact, we're going to concentrate on the cross and the story of the cross to start the service. I think you may have noticed the seating arrangements, a little bit symbolic as well. So you're part of the story this morning. When you look at this, these three crosses, you could look at them from a human point of view, say, a view from the earth, and what we see here is three men getting exactly what they deserve. The cross was retained by the Romans for the worst of crimes, to mock and really make a mockery of the people who stood against them. So the rebels, the thieves, the cross was their calling, if you like. So the two on the outside were hardened criminals, robbers, violent. They would have killed, they would have disrupted people's lives. They were hated for the things that they did. And you could say they deserve what they were getting. The one in the middle is a fiery preacher who upset the established religious leaders of the day, particularly because he claimed to have a special relationship with God, and nothing would annoy the religious leaders more than that. He even claimed to be God's son. So he was hated for that, for upsetting the religion of the day. But he's also hated by the common person because he offered so much hope. A week before, he'd come in to crowds' adoration that he was going to change, transform society, bring new hope. And what happened? He finished on a cross. He didn't do what the common people expected. They were disappointed, and they would have hated him for that too. So that's the story from a human point of view. But if you stop and think of it from a heavenly point of view, it looks a little different. From a heavenly point of view, the man in the middle was God's own dear son. In fact, he had communicated that to people around him. This is my son. I am really pleased with him. You listen to him. That's a heavenly view. How much would we desire to hear that from God? You're my dearest daughter or my dearest son. I'm really pleased with you. That's the view from a heavenly point of view. But we had different reactions from the robbers. One of the robbers here, he looked at Jesus and said, "Hey, if you really are the Son of God, get yourself off the cross and show your power. And help us to go free too, if you really are what you say you are." There was one reaction. There was a different reaction from the second robber. His reaction was, "Hey, don't talk like that. Don't you even respect God when you're about to die? At least we deserve what we got. But this one here, he hasn't done anything wrong. All he's done is healed people and he's told people a way to be accepted by God. Why should he be killed for that?" Then he added, "Jesus, you talked about the kingdom. Where you go, could you look out for me?" Jesus turned to him. Well, I don't think he turned. He was probably, don't know how he did it. Says to him, "Today, you shall be with me in paradise." That's the story from God's perspective. question I ask, did Jesus really have the authority to ensure a criminal that God would accept him in a dying conversation? This was a violent criminal. Is acceptance that easy? Could it be that Jesus was just trying to be nice and comfort him and make him feel a little bit better? How can a guilty person be accepted so easily by a just and perfect God? This is to show you how. I'm not sure that my spray painting was the best, but we'll have a go. That says, made sin. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin." God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin. The impact of that? So that we who could not be right with God, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I'll read it again. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That is the story. The Creator and the Judge of the world took the consequence of sin and accepted the punishment they deserve. Those who will accept his offer are cleaned and accepted just like his own perfect Son. How can you know that your guilt and punishment has been totally dealt with? How can you know that God looks on you and says, "You're my daughter, you're my son. I am really pleased with you, and I want you to fulfill the purposes I've made for you." Certainly the thief was not able to do any good deeds to change God's attitude to him. You can't do much when your hands and feet are nailed to a cross. About the only thing you could do is talk to Jesus, just as he did. And that was all he did. He heard Jesus' good news of God's love for all. He believed. Jesus was merciful. He asked for himself what Jesus had given to so many others who were downtrodden, poor, socially rejected. And Jesus spoke acceptance to him. The Holy Spirit will do that for us in our hearts as well. No longer so we have to feel rejected. We can be accepted. God our Father accepts us just as he accepts Jesus. What a foundational change that is for us. But that sounds too good to be true. How can I believe it? God kept his promise to Jesus to raise him back to life again after he was killed. You know, the start of the story, Jesus on the cross, and he goes, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." This is a story of forgiveness. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what we're doing." We just saw the story here, just with a plea, "Jesus, I know something of you. Please be kind to me. When you're in paradise, when you go to your kingdom," and Jesus goes, "Today, you will be with me in paradise. You are accepted on the basis of that small little bit of faith." Forgiveness is immediately offered. It's to the robber, the thief. But words are words, you know, like you can sit up here and use words, but without demonstration of what it means, they're just nice ideas. So the idea that God forgives, Father, forgive them, if they're just words, you've got to demonstrate that. And what was the demonstration, the answer to Jesus' plea, Father, forgive them, they don't want what they do? It reverberates through heaven. The whole of world gets changed. He dies, and 3 days later, he's resurrected to life. And the echo was going around the world, forgiven, forgiven, everyone. Anyone who believes is forgiven. You are fully accepted. It's the resurrection that gives power to the statement, Father, forgive them. God kept his promises to Jesus to raise him back to life again after he was killed. Death could not frustrate God's purposes. Forgiveness, not condemnation, now reigns. Hallelujah. That's pretty exciting. So we can trust God to keep his promise to those who ask him. For he is merciful, he is forgiving. The Father and his Son have done all that is needed to restore us to himself. He wants to give you eternal life with him. Life that begins now and lasts forever. Hey, man, isn't that good? Okay, let's just have another look at this three crosses over here. The question we have is, which robber are you? Right? Are you the one that says, if you really are God? Are you the robber who's still angry with God because Jesus didn't do what he wanted? Are you that one? Or are you this one over here who just cries out to God, to Jesus, because of who Jesus is and nothing else? And in that cry, the Spirit of God works wonders in his life. Or are you somewhere in the middle, still in the agony of indecision between an angry with God, or can I really accept his kindness and his grace? God, our Heavenly Father, wants you to know and experience for yourself that he accepts you just as if you had never rejected his love or rebelled against him. God wants you to know that what you've done does not count. It's what Jesus has done that counts fully. This choice of destiny is with us. He has done all that is necessary for us to begin to have an intimate love relationship with him that he calls eternal life, forever and ever and ever and ever. How good is that? We're going to reflect on this message through singing a song, another song, which is How Great is the Father's Love. Now, many of us here sitting in this cross, you're deliberately on a cross here, many will have experienced that forgiveness, and you'll sing this song from the bottom of your heart and gratitude. Some may be sort of, I'm not sure where I am. And others might be, you know what, I've heard the message, but I don't think I've ever totally said it's in Jesus that I trust. So as you sing this song, make this a reflective song and response from your heart.
beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Why should I gain from this reward? I cannot give an answer. I think that's from a human point of view. That's from an earthly point of view. From a heavenly point of view, the Father's answer is, because I love you. I've always loved you. I've never not loved you. And I always will. And I'll never stop loving you. Why should we gain from this? Because the Father loves. That's the God who just accepts us. The resurrection story is a story of acceptance. It's forgiveness and it's absolutely utter acceptance by God. So just as the criminal, murderer was accepted in that moment, that's the first story we have of Easter. Now the next one I really like. I love that idea. But the next one, we're going to have a couple of stories from the resurrection stories, and they're deliberate stories about the ladies. Because at the time that Jesus lived in the Roman courts, a lady's testimony was never considered valid in a court of law. That was the rule. So think about this. A lady's testimony could never be considered valid in a law of in a court. But on Resurrection Sunday, Jesus chooses to make known the greatest revolution that has ever occurred in mankind to the very people that were not accepted as being able to testify to anything in court. Can you get that? Resurrection is about acceptance. It's about breaking every barrier in society that would cast some out and allow others to be in. It gets rid of the out and in mindset. Could we now hear from our storytellers?
Jesus had been crucified and laid in the tomb. The women had prepared burial spices, but according to Jewish law, they were not allowed to embalm the body on the Sabbath. So early the next morning, they set off for the tomb. They wondered how they would remove the stone that had been used to seal the entrance. But when they got there, the stone had already been rolled away. So they went in, and there was no body. Suddenly, two angels appeared in dazzling clothes, and the women were terrified, and they bowed low. And the angels said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. Yes. Remember how he said he would be betrayed, crucified, and rise again on the third day?" They remembered. And they ran off to their friends to tell them everything that had happened, but no one believed them. Peter, one of the disciples, jumped up, ran to the tomb, peered in, and saw the burial cloth that had been used to wrap Jesus' body. But he wasn't there. He is risen.
So early on Sunday morning, way before dawn, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. And when she got there, she found the stone had been rolled from the entrance. Oh, she immediately ran back to tell the men. She found Peter and John. She said, "The stone's been rolled away and they've taken Jesus' body and we don't know where he is." Well, they went to check it out for themselves. Mary Magdalene returned to the tomb after the men had gone back home again. She was weeping. She was crying. And while she did so, she kind of stooped over and peered into the tomb, and she saw two angels in there, seated in bright white robes, One was seated at the head of where Jesus' body had laid, and the other one at the feet. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" "Well, they've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." She turned to leave, and there was a man there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord, and..." Well, actually, she thought he was the gardener, and she said, and if you just tell me where you've taken him, and I'll go and get him." "Mary. Rabboni. Don't cling to me, because I'm yet to ascend to my Father. But go and tell the brothers that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." And she ran off. She ran to find those men and to tell them, "Hey, I have seen the Lord." And then she told them everything else that Jesus had said.
"Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I think Mary was pure in heart, and she had the privilege of seeing Jesus. Rabboni, Mary, he hears her voice, he knows. That's the very inflection that Jesus always used to call her, and immediately he knew. So he calls us by name. And then he finishes off to Mary and goes, I love this ending of this story. "My Father and your Father." This is absolute acceptance right there. And Mary didn't ask for it. "My Father, your Father. My God, your God. Everything I have, everything you have. We shall be one. Just as the Father and the Son are one, we shall be one." Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is a story of absolute acceptance by God. And we don't have to do anything about it. Just enjoy it. I'll check my notes. I haven't got any more. There you go. We're going to move from here. I'm going to get you off the cross. Now, I don't know, you can be any of a... Well, at the end of the day, you can be this one, by the way. That sounds almost blasphemous. But it says Christ in us. We become this one, and we live life as this one. Isn't that exciting? What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to break out from your seating arrangements into groups of probably four, depending how comfortable you'll be, 3 to 5 probably. And I'd like at least one person in that group to share their own story, very short, personal story of forgiveness in Christ and the offering of forgiveness. Acceptance, that experience of that acceptance, I am accepted by God, and as a consequence, this happens. I'll give you an example from my story. It would now be... Man, it's... Is it 48 years ago? It's 48 years ago. Anyone here under 48? There's a few? Okay. 48 years ago, I went to Belgrave Heights, never having been inside a church, and I heard the gospel message for the first time. Well, I heard people singing, and it opened my heart to God, just a little bit, and I prayed in my head, "God, if you're real, I'm interested." But the "if" was like, I really want to believe you're real. Not a scientific gift. It was a, if you are real, I'm interested. And that night, life changed. I slept beautifully. Next day, I found my desire for anger had faded. Swearing had stopped. And I didn't know those things should go. And life started on a different path. What I experienced that night was total acceptance by God to a very meager little request. And the consequence of that was new life. I didn't understand what was happening, but my life changed from that moment on. That's my story of acceptance, so easily given, and consequence. And that, I didn't know I'd been forgiven. I had no terms. Years later, I said, I never repented. Theologically, I was trying to work that out. I was just accepted. And I remember going home, and we used to milk off a dairy farm. And I used to count how many times I milked the cows, because whether my brother was doing it as often as I would do it. Anyone ever? And I went, you know what? I could just milk the cows year in, year out without any complaint now. That was the other consequence of being accepted by God. That's my story. All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to break the circle up, because I don't want you hanging on the cross on resurrection. I want you to come off the cross. And you tell your little story, and then after you've been sharing for a little bit, the music will start and we're going to worship God, right? The worship will be our response to this good news. And we'll gather over here, so you won't change it. We'll move some chairs to make some room around the worship leaders. Is that clear? So you don't have to do anything other than get into groups, and someone within your group have one or two stories to share together of acceptance in God and change. Don't make them too long. And then the music will start and we'll all gather over there. Okay, bless you. Where you go.
Just like it'd been fun, you know, whatever. I'd been enjoying the activities, but it was the last night that the worship just really connected with me. And I just suddenly felt this like feeling of like not being good enough. Like, you know, I'm so sinful, God, I'm so imperfect. Like, look at how I've been living my life. Those big stuff like that, and it just changes the way you look at everything.
We don't drums. We'll show drums.
Loving seeing all the good conversation going on, and all the great stories you're hearing of God's acceptance and forgiveness. So as you gather in this space over here, move over here, sit on a chair on the outside, please do that. You don't all have to stand. But we'd like to gather as a community, as an act of worship for who we are in Christ. Finish off with a few songs, a bit of celebration. Father orchestrated all this because he loves us. It's very simple. He loves you. He loved you right from the beginning, and he wants to love you all the way to the end. And it's a very simple message, the Easter message. But if you've and Jesus speaks gently to us. He doesn't invade us. Just when I shared my story of almost an innocuous prayer in my mind, and then he changed things. If you're this morning, you're struggling with that, am I really accepted? If you're struggling with that, just that you can just abandon your life on the promises of who Jesus is, the resurrected Jesus, that you will live with him forever. If you're struggling with that acceptance, that he just loves you, he just does it because he loves you, we'd like to pray with you. Don't let that moment go, because those moments don't come all the time. We get busy, and Easter's a great time to reflect on who God is and who we are in relationship to him. So there's an old man over here, Rob, and we'd be happy to pray and Guy and that. So don't let the opportunity go if you're... they're very loving people, and I'd be happy to pray with... So worship, we'll worship together a few songs, and then please feel free to make your way over to these guys and share a bit with them and have them pray with you, put their arms around you and confirm that Jesus loves you.
Who breaks the power of sin? Take my place. rules the nation. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all fear. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. You've done for me. All that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. That you would lay down. Cross my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior, and that cursed tree. They lay him down in Joseph's tomb, with the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah stood, and all alone. Praise the name. We'll praise the name of the Lord our God. We'll praise forevermore, for endless days, we will sing your praise, O Lord, our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose. Trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ our King. return in robes of light. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
For praise.
And we'll praise the name of the Lord our God. We'll praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh Lord our God, I pray.
As we finish up, we're going to have another song, worship. There are two things I was hoping for this morning the Holy Spirit was doing. And one is, don't leave here not knowing you're accepted by Jesus, right? Still a small voice. He just wants to let you know you're absolutely loved. So never let that opportunity go by. So if He's been speaking to you this morning, please, you're amongst friends. Talk with someone and open your heart to Jesus and be with Him in paradise. And the second thing is, we who know the resurrected Jesus, Easter Sunday is a great way to celebrate. Now, this is how I'd like us to celebrate. This is just me, right? I'm not on the elders or anything like that. I just blow in around. But I'd like us to celebrate by giving. So we've put the pots around the place. So as an act of worship, when we sing the worship song, and you've got any money in your wallet, as a response to Christ, just put it in there. And if you haven't, I'd like you to do something this week, is to send a gift, like Happy Easter, die, or whatever you want to put, and send an additional gift in as an expression of wow, right? It can be small, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Just say, we're celebrating an amazing God and we're free. So that's the act of worship in song and in action for us who have been just given great liberty and freedom and know we're loved by Christ. All right. So you got another song?
I'm going to finish with the classic.
A classic?
How deep the Father's love.
Oh, okay. You don't know, what about a happy day? You don't do that?
Oh.
But you know, anyone know a happy day, like old rock and roll? This sort of soft Christian stuff I've always struggled with. But don't forget the bags or these things around the place. And as an act of worship, you can put in there or send something through this week as an act of worship. Just put Happy Easter on it. All right? Can you do it that quick?
Happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed, He washed my sins away. Every day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. He washed my sins away.
Today, guys? Or you want another song?
Otherwise, we say, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And the last one, Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
Sons to glory.